Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur will be beginning at Mem Vov Amud Beis and Maseches Vov Basra. Before we begin, we'll take advantage of the introductory note on the outside margin, entitled No Say. Haim Elu Delekamon, will the people in the following list, Yecholim Lo'id Keneged Hama'arer, will they be able to testify on behalf of an individual, whom we'll see, against an outside protester? Now, this list includes, the first in the list is a topic that was dealt with in the previous year. That's the number one is Oris Lebalabayas. Number two, Orev Veloive, a guarantor of a loan. Can he testify that a piece of land belongs to the borrower? Number three, Malve Veloive, can a lender testify that a piece of land belongs to a Love? We're talking about these testimonies are against an outside protester, claims it to be his. Number four, Lokeach Rishon Lelokeach Sheni. And number five, Kablon. We now turn to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We notice a framed section. The frame sections in this edition of the marked Gemaras indicate a Tanaic source. You'll also notice the first letters of a few words here, number one, number two, number three, and number four. They've been underlined because they correspond to the simen that precedes this Tanaic source. The simen had been Amolek. So the ayin is of Orev is the ayin that's part of that simen. It's a mnemonic device to remember the topics. So the source says, Tana Rabbanan, Orev Meid Laloive. The bracketed section is explained by the note on the side. There's an asterisk. Haktoim Shemofim Besograyim La'urich Breise Zu Hein Pirushim Shel HaGemora, which means that the sections that are appearing in bracketed parts are explanations of the Gemara, who interjects as the source goes along. That having been said, we'll be able to read the source straight through. So the first point was that an Orev, the guarantor of a loan, can testify on behalf of a Love that some land belongs to him as against an outside protester. You might ask, but is it not so that the Orev has a vested interest in the Love having the land? If the Love doesn't have any means of paying back his loans, so is it not so that the Malve will seize upon the Orev? It's in the Orev's interest, so he's no Geabiedus. Therefore, the Gemara points out, under what circumstances is it so that the Orev can testify, who the Islei Aro Achriti, is provided that the Loive has other lands that aren't part of this controversy, other lands that the Malve will be able to collect his loan from and thereby leave the Orev alone. So the Orev, under these circumstances, has no vested interest. Number two, Malve Meid Laloive. The loaner, the lender, can testify on behalf of the borrower against an outside protester. This particular piece of land belongs to him. Of course, you'll ask, well, this is the ultimate case of vested interest. So the Gemara comments, "Vehu the islei aro achriti." The circumstances under which the malve would be able to testify is if the Lova has additional land, namely land that's not under protest by an outsider, and the Malve would be able to collect from that. Whereas even if this land is lost to the protester, hence the Malve is not a fellow who has a vested interest in this particular case being won by the Loive. Number three, Loikeach Rishon Meid LeLoikeach Sheni. Let us look at the Rashbam for explanation of this case. Lokeach Rishon Meid LeLoikeach Sheni. Kegoin Reuven Shemochar Sode Achas LeLevi. V'acharkach Sode Acheres LeYehuda. So Reuven, the seller, sold off two pieces of property, one to Levi, and subsequently another one to Yehuda. He also inish me'almo u'ma'arer al shel Yehuda loymar. And an outsider came and protested the land held by Yehuda loymar, saying, "Gozlo Reuven mimeni," that which Reuven supposedly sold to Yehuda was really a land stolen by from me, says the protester. Meid lo Levi, who was the first purchaser, who purchased the first parcel from Reuven, he can meid li Yehuda. Dehainu loikeach rishon lo loikeach sheni, namely Levi, they meid for Yehuda. U meid loi shehi sheloi veloi shel ha-ma'arer velo shel ma'arer. This is true, or this is okay. Vahu de is lay Yehuda oid karka acheres shelokach miruvein. This is provided that Yehuda has another parcel of land that he had purchased from Reuven. Sheyuchal balchoyv de Reuven ligvois choyvoy emeno. A piece of land that would be available to a creditor of the original seller, namely Reuven, that this creditor would be able to seize upon it if necessary. Kedin balchoyv shegoyve miloikeach acharoyn. As the rule says that the most recent purchaser is most subject to liens. If there's a creditor, he'll seize the most recently held land that was held by the borrower. In this case, Reuven had borrowed from the creditor and sold most recently something to Yehuda. So if Yehuda has other lands that he bought from Reuven, then Levi can testify. However, if Yehuda would not have other lands, the creditor, of course, we're talking about in the potential event that Yehuda lost to the protester. What would the creditor of Reuven do? He would go to Levi, who also bought from Reuven just a bit earlier. So in order to enable Levi to testify on behalf of Yehuda, Levi has to be in a position where he's not really endangered. And that would be if Yehuda has other land that he also bought from Reuven. V'hilkoch kivon de isle Yehuda oid karka acheres hamishubedes lebalchov de Reuven. And since Yehuda has another piece of land that he bought from Reuven, that there is upon it a lien to the creditor of Reuven. Inami yeshlo Reuven karka acheres bashorin. Or certainly if Reuven himself had other lands that's available, Bashorin means other available lands to pay his creditor. Alo b'chov didei motzi Levi v'asudei Yehuda. That if the Baal Chov of Reuven would be able to seize that Ben Chorin, that Bashorin land, so then Levi can testify for Yehuda. Ahach karka, on this particular land that's under question. The Rashbam is going over the point again, explaining that even if the land would be lost by Yehuda to the Ma'ara. Lo osi ba'chov de Ruvain v'toruch mi'levi. The creditor of Ruvain was the original borrower, would not go to Levi. Elo mikarka acheres sheish lo Yehuda miRuvain o mikarka acheres sheish lo Ruvain o avol ileko karka acheres. If there is no other land, there's just that one parcel of land that's held by Yehuda that's under protest. And the only other land that can be associated with Reuven is something that was sold to Levi. Lo masid Levi b'Yehuda, b'fnei shemamido Levi b'fnei balchov d'Reuven. Because under those circumstances, Levi is ensuring that it remains by Yehuda and not go to the protester. Pen yovo b'yitrov heimenu. Because otherwise, the balchov of Reuven will collect from him, from Levi. V'davka lokeach rishon ein meid lokeach sheni. Hecha delesle aro achriti. Avol lokeach sheni meid lokeach rishon. However, if you switch things around, a case of Yehuda testifying to benefit Levi, afilu hecha delesle lemocher karka acheres, even if the mocher has no other land, the mocher being Reuven. Levi himself, rather, let's say Yehuda himself has nothing to gain because he's the first one that's going to be seized upon anyway. Therefore, Yehuda can testify to Levi's benefit. The rule stands that the balchov of the mocher goes to the lokeach sheni. The hilkoch lomar viach midi beeduso. Upigon shemochar mocher the lokeach rishon shelo bachrayas. This is all true, provided that Reuven sold to Levi without guarantees. Avol imochar lo bachrayas. If Reuven sold to Levi with a guarantee, lo masid le sheni the rishon. Then Yehuda could not testify to benefit Levi. Elim came yeshlo karka lemocher, only if Reuven has other lands, because in the event that Levi loses, what's going to happen? Levi would seize Yehuda's property. So of course Yehuda is interested that Levi would win. So the rule, or the suggestion that the Rashbam made, that a lokeach sheni is able to testify to the lokeach rishon, that's qualified, as he just explained. As we'll read that the last few words again, elo im ken yeshlo karka lemocher de lahadir lokeach rishon iluyo de nogea b'edusu. Under those circumstances, that there would be no that was sold with a guarantee, the lokeach sheni is nogea b'edus. The chayesh, he's afraid. The imifki lay mi lokeach rishon. If the ma'ar is successful in getting the land away from Levi, hodar lokeach rishon iluvoi, he'll come upon me. Shokanis yachrov karka mishubenislo. I bought land that was part of that guarantee scenario. Kenira b'enai. Let's go back into the Gemara. Second line from the bottom, lokeach rishon, we said, can meid lelokeach sheni, and the example the Rashbam gave, that would have been Levi can testify to benefit Yehuda, to who the islay aro achriti. This is provided that there is other land in either the possession of Yehuda that he bought from Reuven, or the Reuven himself has other lands, and as we explained, this is so that the Balchov of Reuven will have where to collect from and not bother Levi. Therefore, Levi, the Lokech Rishon, is not Nogea B'Edus. Number 4, at the top of Mem Zayin Omet Aleph, Kablon, as far as this character is concerned, Amri Lo Meid, the Amri Lo Eino Meid. First, it is incumbent upon us to explain what a kablon is. That the Rashbam does at the top. Kablon, orev kablon, it's a form of a guarantor. why is he puts the word kablon? Shekibel hamos miyodo shel malve v'nosan liyodo shel loive. As opposed to a standard loan where the malve, the lender, gives the money directly to the borrower, here the lender placed the money in the hands of this gentleman, the orev, who was makabel, who received the money from the lender, and he, the kablon, gave it to the borrower. The zehu dino, and the following is the din, is the law. The mimi sheyirtze hamalve yifra tchila. Whomever the malve wants to go to first, he can go. Avo orev stama, the standard orev, ein toivin l'orev tchila. The malve doesn't go to the guarantor initially. Ad shiamid malve l'lova bedin, v'yachayvu l'shalim v'ein lo ma l'froa, v'oz yigve min orev. Only after the malve brought the love to din, and the din, the basin said, you are chayav to pay, but we see that you have nothing to pay with, then and only then the love, the malve goes to the orev. The question then is, or the issue at hand is, the kablon testifying on behalf of the loiva. The Gemara presented to the source presented two shitas, and now the Gemara explains. Amri lo meiv, the kablon can be meiv ke orev domi. He is like an orev. So whatever dinim we said regarding the orev, we'll say over here. And we said before that the orev can testify for the lova, provided there the lova had other lands. The Amri law, the Gemara goes on to say, Eino made, that the kablon cannot be made to benefit the lova, even if the lova has other pieces of property. So you would have thought that the kablon doesn't have any vested interest, because the Baal Chov will have from where to collect anyway. Nevertheless, the nichole, it is pleasing to the kablon, the lehevu biodei travayhu, that there should be in the hands of the lova two parcels of land, or multiple parcels of land, so that when the Baal Chov comes to collect, he'll be able to collect that which is supposed to be his as a means of collection. To explain this, we'll take a look at the Rashbam. On the first narrow line, the Amri lo eino meid, the akati nogea be'edusu, the kablon, this orev kablon, still has a vested interest, even if the loiva, the borrower, has other land. The nicho le, the nukmo travayu araso biyodei de loiva. Ki hechi de lehevu le arituva, ziburis uveinunis. So that the borrower has different qualities of land. He was poorest quality, beinonis, medium quality. The chiosa malve the migbi beinonis, the kablon kedin balcho shedino beinonis. Because if the malve, the lender, comes to collect, let's say he comes to the kablon, and we said that he is able to, that's part of the din, he might knock on the door of the kablon initially, and he'll seek out the medium quality land from the kablon. Le mole, the kablon could say, "Etein loch beinanis de loibe. I'll give you, instead of taking my beinanis, I'll give you the lova's beinanis." And this would be a direct outgrowth of the lova having won against the protester. Therefore, the kablon has a vested interest. The e lo have laloive beinunis, lo ligvi malva elami beinunis the kablon. If the loive would not be in possession of beinunis land, then what's the malva going to do? He's going to seize the kablon's beinunis. Whomever he wants, he can seize first. This is as opposed to a regular orei. Aval orei stam leko lemeimar hochi the cholkamo di isle leloive lemifra midi the afilu ziburis. With a regular orei, the balchov doesn't go to him, even if all the loive has is poorest quality land. The malva doesn't have any power to go to the orev. As our masechet says, that an orev is not seized upon first. At this point in the Gemara, we've explained the two sides of the orev being made on behalf of the lova, even if the lova had other properties. First opinion cited said he can be made because in this we're going to treat him as a regular orev. And the other opinion said no, even if the lova has other lands, nevertheless the kablon has a vested interest in the lova having several qualities of land. The Gemara continues, and you notice the slash, so we're going to be dealing with a new topic. And before we do the Gemara inside, let's take a look at our heading that's on the outside margin, the nosei. Uman, a craftsman, an artisan, oris, a sharecropper, v'gazlon, thief. Ein lohem chazoka. These are topics we've seen in the past. Ma din b'nehem. What's the din of their children? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Uman ein loy chazoka. Ben Uman yesh loy chazoka. Oris ein lo chazoka. Ben Oris, the son of the Oris, who works that land that the father was servicing as a sharecropper, the son yesh lo chazoka. Gazlon uben gazlon ein lohen chazoka. Ben beno yishel gazlon yeshlo chazoka. Hechi domi. I de osu betanosa de avuam. This expression will have to be explained, this idea of them coming, the osu betanosa davuham. The Rashbam explains the lower part of the narrow section, I de osu hanoch bonim betanosa davuham. The Amri, they claim avinu horisha lanu. The land that we've been using for the last 3 years was something that we inherited from father. The umishimachi ben gazlon ein loy chazoka. The chihai gavno ein toanin liyoresh. Circumstances like this would not warrant our trying to offer explanations on behalf of the heir. The kevon de mikoyach gazlon kasi, since he's coming by virtue of his father, the thief. The ihu lo toin, and he's not saying me avi ani yoresh bezovno minoch kamoyidi, and he's not saying I inherited land from my father who bought it from you in my presence. Under those circumstances, we would be able to believe the son of the gazlon. Migu demosi omar anoz avinas minoch. I bought it from you. Hilkoch, as things stand now, where the Ben Gazlon says, I inherited from my father, and I've been here for 3 years, it's a chazoka she'ein imo tainohi, shere'ein la'abo chazoka. He's coming mikoach someone, he's coming from the strength someone himself who couldn't have a chazaka. The gam haben haba mikoicho ein cheskos chazaka. The kevon de mikoach avuon kaasu afilu hanoch ben uman uben oris gami lo lehevu chazaka. If an oris and an uman themselves don't gain a chazaka, how in the world could their sons be any stronger? And therefore, if they say what the Gemara term tanosa de avuhon, namely, how we inherited this from our father, then none of them would have a chazak, none of these bonim. So we don't understand Rabbi Yochanan's din, because Rabbi Yochanan made a distinction between the Uman Oris on one side and the Ben Gazlan on the other. Continuing in the Gemara, we had read the number one was E, the Asu Petanasa Davon Afilu Hanoch Nami Lo. The Hanoch would refer to the Ben Uman and the Ben Oris. E, the Loi Asu Petanasa Davon. Rather, they're coming with their own taina, namely, I bought it from you, and I've been here for 3 years. Afilu ben gazlonami. Just because his father's a thief, what difference does it make regarding his son? Son is saying, I bought it from you. Loi sricha. The case, as the Rashbam explains, is that they're coming b'tanosa davuon. They're citing this element of inheritance, but there's more. The ko'amri edim, witnesses testify b'fonenu hoide loy. The original owner, the person who's probably coming to protest over here, this original owner, was moide to the fathers of these people that it's yours. So you have the original owner conceding to their fathers. Therefore, how does the breakdown work? We've got the Uman and Oris on one side and the Gazlan on the other, and we're focusing on their children. Hanoch, the Bnei Uman and Oris, the children of the Oris and the Uman, Iko Lameimar Kushto Ko Amri. It's quite possible that their father, the Uman or the Oris, bought it from the original owner, and they, the children, inherited it. Kushto Kami, they're telling the truth. In other words, the land that they inherited was truthfully bequeathed to them from their father, and witnesses we saw were testifying that the original owner admitted the land belonged to their father. Hai is a reference to the Gazlan. The other one, the case of the Gazlan, Apagav di Oidi Nami Loi Mehemon. Even if there's evidence that the Nigzal, the original owner, conceded to the Gazlan, this land is yours, it wouldn't be believable. Why not? Because the idea of the Nigzal conceding to the Gazlan is under a form of duress. Kid Rav Kahana, the Omar Rav Kahana, Ilav the Oidi Lay, Rav Kahana's teaching is that if the Nigzal would not have conceded to the Gazlan is a tough guy. He's full of threats. Havi Manti Lay Lidide Ulachamre Lashachvor. He would have delivered the Nigzal and his animals into the hands of the government. The Rashbam explains this Gemara a few lines under the Gemara, Lo Sricha, the Ka'asu B'Tanosu Davuon. The children here are in fact coming B'Tanosu, through the claim regarding their father, namely, we inherited from father. How does it work though for them? If you go, the Yomru Edim, the Fonenu Hoida Lohama'ar, La'avim Shalelu Shemochroi Lohem. Witnesses are saying that we heard the Ma'ara, the protester himself, concede that he sold the land to them, to the respective fathers. Hilko Hanoch ben Orisu ben Umon, Iko the Memar Kushto Kamrin, Kishitoanin, Avinu Lokho Mimcho. That when the heirs who said we inherited from our father who bought it from you, they're likely telling the truth. Share Hoide, we know from the Edom that the Ma'arer, the protester, admitted to their father that it was his. Vodas Baal Din Kemea Edom, and the strength of the Baal Din admitting is like that of 100 witnesses. Avol Ben Gazlan Apagav De Oidi Hai Ma'arer Le Ovi. Even if the Ma'arer, who was the Nigzal, conceded to their father, Lo Mehemon Lomar Lokuachu Biadovi, the son is not going to be believed to say that my father, who was the Gazlan, he successfully purchased it. Afilu B'chayi Oviv Im Nosno Baben, even if while the father was alive, he transferred it to his son. Sharei hu mitoch pachad hoide loy lagazlon kidrav kahana. The whole concession of the nigzal to the gazlon was under circumstances of fear, based on Rav Kahana's teaching. Avol ben benoy sho gazlon yesh lo chazaka di osi betano de avua. The grandson of the Gazlan, if he says, I inherited from my father, it would be okay. D'toyin me'avi yorashti ve'avi lo hoyo Gazlan. He's saying, I inherited from my father was not a thief. And under circumstances like that, we would taina on behalf of the Yorish. V'chiyai gavno to'anim l'yorish. Ki'ilu hoyo oviv kayom. If his father, the Ben Gazlan, was alive, have a Toyin Minoch Zavinta. He could have testified, I bought it from you, and he himself is not a tough guy. Velohavi Osi Bitanoso de Avua. He wouldn't have necessarily claimed he inherited from his father, the Gazlan. Afanu Niton the Shvil HaYoresh. We'll turn back to the Gemara at this point. Omar Rava. Te'amim. The Gemara now features in the marked edition brackets. These brackets are here because the girsa contained in the Gemara is questionable. There's an alternative girsa that's found in the Tosfos that's offered by the Re in the Tosfos. If we navigate with the markings, we will find that pretty quickly. You just notice a star in the Tosfos underneath the Gemara where it says Venira Lari, the Goras, and his preferred girsa is Te'omim Sheben Gazlon Yesh Loi Chazoka. Could be that the son of the Gazlon does get a chazoka on this property. He's coming, claiming it came to him through his grandfather. Dehu Avi HaGazlon. The Komash Malon, the Afagav She'oiso V'yad Mi She'ein Lo Chazoka, Dehainu Aviv HaGazlon. The Chiddush here is that even though it was in the hands of someone that doesn't gain a chazaka, mikomokom yesh lo chazaka, kevan she'omar she'oisa shel avi aviv. Once the grandson says, this land had belonged to my grandfather, who happened to have a son that's a thief, even though the land passed through the hands of the thief, the grandson, with his being there 3 years, will be able to prevail over a protester. Continuing in the Gemara, after the bracketed section, Hechi Domi Gazlan. What is the nature of this Gazlan that we've said has no chazaka? Amar Rav Yochanan, Kegoin Shehuchsuk Al Sodezu BeGazlanusa. The case is a situation where the fellow who's a Gazlan was there through theft. The emphasis the Rashbam offers on this piece is that his lack of chazaka is only on this particular land that he strong-armed away from somebody, but on other, with regard to other pieces of land, he does have a chazaka. This is in contrast with the next opinion. We had underlined Rav Yehuda and called him one, so as to contrast him with Rav Chisda. Number two, Rav Chisda Omar, Kegoin the base ploni, Shehorgin nefoshos al iske momon. If you want to know what a gazlan is, he doesn't even mention the name of the family. But Rav Chisda knew a family that were probably members of the mob. And people like that, who they'll kill over money matters. That's the gazlan she'ein lo chazaka. The Rashbam points out that Rav Chisda's opinion, as opposed to Rav Yochanan, would mean that he has no chazaka on any property. Because anyone who sees this family occupying their land, they won't protest. They'll be quiet. And as we've said many times already, that in order for a chazaka to come to fruition, it had to have been under circumstances that the original owner would have protested, but chose to remain silent. Here he wouldn't have protested. The Gemara now presents a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan. You can see that it is in a frame. In our marked Gemaras, those pieces that appear in frames are from a Tanaic source. Tana Rabbanan, Uman ein lo chazaka. Yorad me uman oso, yesh lo chazaka. If he left his umanus, he left his role as repairman, craftsman, and then took hold of that land and was there for 3 years, he could gain a chazaka. Oris ein lo chazaka. Yorad me ari suso. He stopped being a sharecropper. Yesh lo chazaka. Ben shecholak. A son who left his father's domain and is no longer receiving support from his father. In other words, a son who's become independent. Whereas beforehand they would not have been able to receive or achieve a chazaka. Now that they've split, the son left his father, the woman was divorced, they're viewed as regular people, and hence can get chazokas in their former's estate. Bishlama ben shecholak itzterich. The case of the son leaving his father's domain, that has to be taught. It's not so simple. There's a chidush here. Sakadai dechamina, I would have thought without this source, av leben achuli ochil gabei. That a father, by virtue of the fact that he is a father of a son, he is moichel. He'll be moichel for 3 years of his son using the property. Now, think about it. If
a father would be moichel, his son using it, that means the father is not protesting. He's not going to protest. And what have we said in the past? If a person would not protest, then there's no basis for a chazaka. Komash malon deloy. Komash malon deloy means that the source informs us that the father is not moichel, even though it's his son. A man's money may be his dearest possession. That's a topic that's worth expounding upon on another occasion. So there is a point in teaching this, that Ben Shecholak, he's Kishar Kol Adam, because I might have not thought so. However, Elo Isha Shenis Garsha, the woman who has been divorced, Shita, it's obvious that she can gain a chazaka on her former husband's lands. They're at odds with each other. Man doesn't divorce his wife unless there's some kind of sin'ah, some kind of hate between them. So can you imagine the woman using her former husband's land? He's going to be quiet. He's not going to be quiet. If he's quiet for 3 years, it must be that he really sold it to her. In other words, his quiet is a sign that she has a chazaka. So why do I have to be taught the case of Isha Shenis Garsha? Lo Tzricha, the case is B'megureshes Ve'ena Mugureshes Uchad Rabbi Zera. This involves a case where a man threw a get to his wife, threw a divorce document to his wife, and it's not clear if it landed closer to her or remained closer to him. For a woman to be divorced, under such circumstances, they'll get would have to land closer to her than to him. However, this is a matter of doubt. What does Rabbi Zera teach? The Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rabbi Yirmi, Ba'aba, Omar Shmuel. Kol mokim shomu chachomim megureshes veinu megureshes. Any time that is the ruling, and we just explained how that could arise. Namely, he threw the get, and it's suffik whether it was closer to her or closer to him. Hence, she is suffik megureshes. Her divorce status is a matter of doubt. Rabbi Zera's rule is ba'alo chayav b'mezonoseha. The husband is duty bound to support her. Now, I would have thought that her consumption of the land was to enable her to receive mezonos that he anyway is obligated to provide for her. And if he's obligated to provide it for her, so he'll remain silent. She's eating what I'm supposed to provide for her. So therefore the source comes to tell us not so. The Rashbam adds some interesting insight to this. We will pick up the Rashbam in the middle of things, starting with the first narrow line. Komash malon dehavio chazaka. The source informs us that the woman who's using her husband's land under the circumstances of suffik megureshes does achieve a chazaka. The keva dehischil begerushin, who sonei law, he started the divorce process by throwing a get to her. True, it didn't land clearly closer to her, but he certainly is interested in divorcing her. You can rest assured he hates her. Lo yicheid lo karkel demezoinoseha. He's not going to allocate a piece of land for her to draw from it her support. Ki v'torach yitein lo mezonos betzimtzum kishiyachayvu bezden. Guy like that is going to give her the minimum amount of mezonos, just enough, as far as bezden is mechayev him. So
the idea that the husband was miyached an entire piece of land for her to benefit from, we can forget that. Therefore, if she is using the land for 3 years, it's an indication that she has a chazoka that she actually bought it. Before we continue in the Gemara, we'll take a look at our topic heading, the Nosei. Kol Eilu She'amarnu Li'el, Ein Lohem Chazokah, the Umon V'Oris. All of those that we said before don't gain a Chazokah, like the Umon, the artisan, the craftsman, and the sharecropper. Raya Yesh Lohem, Kedon Shtar O Eide Mechira. If they produce a document of sale, or witnesses that saw the sale, they can gain ownership. Chutz min hagazlan, with the exception of the thief. Starting the Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar li huna, kulon sheviu raya, rayoson raya, umamidim sode biyodon. All of those whom we said before don't gain chazokas, however, if they produce a document or witnesses that testify that the parcel of land was sold to them, they will be successful and the land will be placed in their hands. Gazlan Shehevi Raya, a Gazlan who brought Ede Mechira, witnesses that saw a sale. However, the Rashbam adds, they did not see a transfer of money. They saw some kind of transaction, but not involving money. Ein rayoso rayo, ve'ein mamidim sode biyodo. Rashbam adds that we not only wouldn't allow the gazlan to take possession of land, even though there are these witnesses, but we wouldn't allow anyone that comes mikocho either, for example, his son. Or asks, my komash mulan, what is Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Mechadish does? Tanina, this idea of a gazlan not having the ability to gain ownership is taught in a Tanaic source. Lokach mi sikrikoi, v'chozer v'lokach mi balabayis, mekcho botel. A person who bought land from a sikrikon. Sikrikon is a Gentile thief who will kill over money matters. Imagine then someone who bought land from a sikrikon, and then the buyer went and bought the same land from the original owner. The sale is void. What do you see from here? That when you're dealing with threatening type individuals, the sale has no validity. The question then had been, what does Rav Huna inform us that we wouldn't have known from the Tanaic source? Namely, that sales that involve purchases from a gazlan have no validity. They're constantly threatening the original owners. So actions that the original owners do is only to save themselves, but not because of a valid sale. More answers, La Fuke Midarav. What Rav Huna accomplishes is to the exclusion of Rav, the Omar Rav, Lo Shonu, the idea of Mekho Botel, according to Rav, is such, Elo, the Omar Leich Hazek Ukni, that the thief or the original owner under those circumstances says that. Imagine we had the case of a person buying from a sikrikon, and then he went to sort of ensure the sale by going to the original owner So if the original owner told the buyer this expression, Leich Chazekukni, according to Rav, the sale is no good, because the original owner is telling him this just to save himself. Avo Bishtar Kona, if the original owner signed a document indicating that he's selling the property to the buyer, then it's an official sale. Chomash Molon Kidishmuel. Rav Huna tells us nothing doing. Rather, we're going to go like Shmuel, the Omar. Af Bishtar Nami Lo Kono Ash Yichtoy Achrayas Nechosin. That even if the original Balabayas wrote a document indicating a sale, he's still doing that out of fear of the Sikriton. And the sale is not a valid sale until the original owner writes a guarantee that if anything should happen, I'll provide you with new land. That would indicate a serious intent on his part to have the sale conclusive and not something done out of fear. The Rav Beifai Messiah Bo Mishmei the Rav Nachman. We're going to note that Rav Beifai is about to begin a long point. And he says that Rav Nachman, who originally was the one that brought in Rav Huna, Rav Nachman added on his own the following. That's again Rav Beifai Messiah Bo Mishmei de Rav Nachman. Rav Beifai tells us that Rav Nachman added on his own, not something that Rav Huna said, but on his own, Rav Nachman said, Karka ein loy, avol mois yesh loy. What does that mean? We would not allow the Gazlan who brought a shtar indicating that he owns the land from the original owner to maintain the land. That's karka ein loy. However, if the Gazlan paid money to the Nigzal for this land, namely the land that we're about to take away from him, but if that Gazlan paid money for the land, he will get his money back. In other words, even though he is a type of character that casts fear on others, we're not going to impose a knas on him, a fine on him, that he should even lose money that he may have paid for the land. This is an interesting point of law, that a threatening type person who pays money, even though it's a sale with payment under duress, according to this opinion of Nachman, it's not a sale, but he gets his money back. This is in contrast with another shita that we'll see Emir Tzishem later, Rav Huna Shita, that holds Taliyah Bezovin Zvine Zvine, that a sale with money paid under duress is a full-fledged sale. Gemara here continues, Bamed Vamamurim, when is it that we say that Mo'os Yeshlo, that the Gazlan would get his money back? She'amu Edim Bifonenu Mono Loi. Edim say, we saw him, the Gazlan, paying out money. So we know he paid out money, hence he can get his money back. Avol omru Edim, bifonenu hoidelo. In front of us, the Nigzal conceded ownership to the Gazlan. Lo, that doesn't indicate there was any money paid. Ah, so then how is it that he conceded ownership to the Gazlan? That was out of fear. If the Nigzal wouldn't have conceded to the Gazlan, having mamti leidudi deu lechami leshachbor, this ruffian would have delivered the Nigzal and his animal into the hands of the government. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.